Welcome to the Not Old Better Show Prevention Magazine Healthy Living Interview Series on radio and podcast. The show covering all things health, wellness, culture, and more. The show for all of us who aren't old, we're better. Each week, we'll interview superstars, experts, and ordinary people doing extraordinary things, all related to this wonderful experience of getting better, not just older. Now, here's your host, the award-winning Paul Vogelzang.
Welcome to the Not Old Better Show Prevention Magazine Health and Wellness Interview Series on radio and podcast. I'm Paul Vogelzang, and this is the next installment of our Editor-in-Chief series. Today, we are talking with Marissa Cohen, contributing editor at Prevention Magazine, and we have another engaging episode in collaboration with Prevention Magazine. We are tracking some of the most pressing health topics featured in Prevention Magazine, and they're crucial for our audience, adults over 60 who are committed to living their best lives. Let's get right into it. We have another packed show. For our issue overview, Marissa Cohen, contributing editor at Prevention Magazine, is with us first. Marissa will briefly talk about the June Prevention Magazine highlights, like the subjects of skin health and some interesting facts about how to take care of your skin. We'll also talk with Marissa Cohen about our furry friends, those pets, and the myths that surround pet health. It's going to be a fantastic interview. You're going to learn a lot about some of these daily habits that can significantly enhance skin health. Most people might just be overlooking them. So by all means, listen, then check out the issue of Prevention Magazine in June. We are going to be featuring another wonderful interview with the cover story author, Alyssa Jung, who is the senior editor for fitness and nutrition. Alyssa will join us in just a few minutes. She's going to talk about healing your body with food. But today's episode promises to be both informative and inspiring, tailored to our seasoned listeners who are passionate about living their best lives. Please join me in welcoming back to the Not Old Better Show Prevention Magazine Health and Wellness Interview Series, the contributing editor at Prevention Magazine, Marissa Cohen. Marissa Cohen, welcome back to the program.
Thanks. Great to talk to you again.
It's nice to talk to you again, too. We spoke recently about brain health, and that was such a wonderful interview. We're talking again, and this time we're going to talk about skin health, which is part of the In Focus feature for June's Prevention Magazine, coming right up immediately for everybody. I just thought this is such a wonderful article and so many great elements. We won't get to all of it. I really encourage our listeners to go and check out June's Prevention Magazine issue. And we are talking to the contributing editor, Marissa Cohen, today about skin and skin health. So why don't we just start really kind of where you started in the article. Give our audience an idea of what is skin made of? Let's just start there.
Okay, well, you know, it's I learned so much writing this article. And, you know, we often think of skin as just this a sort of giant tarp covering our body.
Okay.
It's actually the largest organ in the body. It's if you were to, I don't want to get too disgusting, but if you were to spread it all out, it would be about on average 22 square feet and about 8 pounds. And so there's like a lot going on in the skin other than just the obvious things we think about, like it's protecting you from, you know, environmental toxins and the sun's rays, regulates the body temperature. But it's, you know, it has its own complex immune system that keeps, you know, keeps things like bacteria and viruses from infecting us. It has, you know, an important function also, if you think about it, it has so much to do with human connection. If you think about holding a baby, you know, partners holding hands, when you're scared, your skin gets prickly. So it does all kinds of interesting things. And what skin is basically made up is water, protein, fats, and minerals. And there's three layers. So we can start with, let's start from the deepest one. There is the hypodermis, which is the deepest layer of the skin. And that sort of, it's got the fat, it cushions muscles and bones, it has the connective tissue, it, you know, sort of anchors the skin to the rest of your body. There's the middle layer, which is the dermis, and that is, I think we said it's about 90% of the skin's thickness is there. And that's where there's a lot going on there. There's blood vessels, hair follicles, sweat glands. It produces, that's where this sebum is produced, which is sort of waterproofs you, so we don't all get soaked through when it rains outside. And then finally, and this brought me back to my childhood, where you see a joke going around, hey, your epidermis is showing. And that is the outside layer. That's what you see. That's where the melanin is at, you know, it's responsible for your skin's color. And it also, you know, protects against all those things I mentioned before, the sun, germs, bacteria. And what I found really fascinating learning about this is that in the epidermis, there's the keratin cells are produced at like the lowest, the base layer of the epidermis. And those are constantly growing and sort of pushing their way to the outside and then being shed off. And so about every 4 to 5 weeks, you get a completely new layer of skin. And when you're, you know, dusting or vacuuming your house, all the dust around, guess what that is? That's all the layers of skin that have flaked off. So
that's really helpful to know and fascinating. You really, you know, touch on all of these elements that we might just overlook, you know, as we're thinking about our skin. And I that's what I enjoyed so much about the article. And I wonder if you could just touch on maybe a couple of habits that might significantly, I suppose, enhance skin health that we might overlook.
Sure. So, you know, there's so many, every day I feel like there's a new product or technique or something that like, this is what you need to do to take care of your skin. And we go over all of that in the, well, not all of it, that would be an entire book, but we go over a lot of that in this section, you know, retinol, hyaluronic acid, everything from like red light therapy and dermaplaning, but really when it comes down to it, there's like three things you need to do to take care of your skin. And the first is cleansing, morning and night. Whatever cleanser works best for your type of skin. You know, I think our experts recommended a non-foaming or oil-based cleanser. So that's just important to get all the dirt, all the stuff off that shouldn't be on there. The second thing is to moisturize. That locks in hydration and moisture, and it supports the skin barrier. Again, that's, you know, depending on your type of skin, you can, there's all, you know, numerous different types of moisturizer from, you know, like even the drugstore versions can be very good. You can spend, as you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars on moisturizer, but you can also get some really good ones at a, you know, very reasonable price. And then, finally, it's protecting your skin, and that's with sunscreen. And, you know, I've been writing for Women's and Health magazine for several decades, and I think this is like the one piece of advice that has remained steady for all the years. The one thing's like, anytime you go out, put on sunscreen. And I have to admit, I don't always listen to it. You know, sometimes just running out to take the dog for a walk and you forget to put sunscreen on. But that is really, you know, the most important thing you need to do. And that should be put on last after you do all your, any other products you're doing. You put the sunscreen on last, so it's the top layer and it protects you. And, you know, we point out there's two different kinds of sunscreen. There's chemical, which is, you know, reduces the absorption of the UV rays into the skin. And that's what most sunscreens are. And then there's the physical barriers, which are zinc oxide, titanium oxide. And, you know, if you think back to like maybe going to the beach when you were a kid and the lifeguards would have that like white stuff on their nose. Mm. That's what you sort of think of it. But nowadays they have ones that are not quite as blatantly like a blanket of white over your nose. And those literally, you know, don't allow the rays to get to your skin. So, yeah, you know, there's so many things you can do, but if you take care of those three steps, you're pretty much covered.
That's so helpful. Yeah. The article is just, chock-a-block full of these wonderful tips. I wonder if you touch on kind of the final thing that really jumped out at me, and then we'll move on to a couple of other subjects. But the first that I really thought was so important was just eating. What should you consider when you...
Yeah,
tell us a little bit about diet and skin.
Well, you know, as we know, like what you eat affects every part of your body. And, you know, there's certain things that are just generally healthy for everything. And the more of a plant-based diet, the more, you know, vitamins and, you know, nutrients and minerals that you can get in your body, the better. So for skin in particular, we did recommend, you know, that you want to get some vitamin A and C, you want to get antioxidants that can, contribute to collagen production, can help fight acne, can combat dry skin. And we actually have a really delicious looking smoothie recipe in this issue that, drink that and you're doing yourself a favor and you're doing your skin a favor. It has pineapple, cucumber, spinach, bananas. Taking care of your skin can be a delicious thing as well.
That's wonderful. It sounds great. We will have links in our show notes today so that our audience can find these articles and more. One of the articles that I tell you, it just jumped out at me again, was we have a new puppy in our household.
Wow.
Yes. And
are you getting any sleep?
Yeah. A puppy is a puppy in every way. Tons of energy. Yeah. And what I found in the article that I thought was so great were some of these myths that we have about pet health. I held several of them, but I wonder if you just run through a couple of those real quickly about about pet health, because I thought that was an important, our audience is going to be concerned. We all love pets.
Yeah, and well, I too am a new a dog mom. I have a 2.5-year-old Labradoodle. It's the first dog my family has ever had, and we love her so much. And every day is a learning experience. So one thing that I thought was really interesting that came up in this article was that my dog is very, very social. Always wants to play. We've been going to dog runs and dog parks since she was old enough to go. Since she had all her shots, but that is not the right way for all dogs. I mean, like children, dogs have different personalities, and some are more anxious than others, some are more social than others, some are more timid. And, there's sort of this idea that everyone's like, oh, well, you just bring your dog to a dog run and that will socialize them. But in a way, if your dog doesn't have the right temperament for that, it's the equivalent to taking a very anxious, shy child, throwing them into, a playground full of insane, crazy, like running around, jumping on each other's children and saying, go fend for yourself. So, this is depending on your dog's temperament. It's, you can introduce them to one dog at a time, or even just go let them sniff a dog and then walk away and, very gradually introduce them to the idea of socializing with other dogs. And you don't have to feel like you need to take them to the dog run and have them, be the life of the party right from the beginning. And another thing that I was very interested to read in this was that, here in New York, we have, there's restaurants that cater to dogs. There's places that make homemade food for dogs. Hmm. And, I feed my dog kibble and have always been like, oh my goodness, should I be, preparing a gourmet meal for my dog? And the thing is, it's not necessarily better for your dog. Certainly also, a lot of these trendy diets for adults are really not good for dogs. So, the most important thing is to talk to your vet and figure out which is the best food for your dog based on their health needs, based on their age and stage of life. So the more expensive and the more fancy and gourmet the food is, it doesn't necessarily mean it's better for your dog.
The article's wonderful, especially for those of us who, have pets at home. I have to tell you, you have a Labradoodle. We got a Bernedoodle puppy, and he is he's crazy. He is so social, and this article busts a bunch of myths that I think all of us might have about pets, and so helpful. Well, Marissa Cohen, this is just a wonderful time to catch up with you. June's issue is upon us, and it is fantastic. We're going to talk with Alyssa Jung in just a moment about the cover story, which is wonderful, too. Heal Your Body with Food. Alyssa just has some wonderful things to say. Maybe you'll just introduce us to Alyssa on the way out.
Yeah. So, Alyssa's great. She's a terrific writer and writes a lot about nutrition and has really broken down all of the, specific things that that foods can do for your body in this article. So you'll learn a lot.
Yes. Well, coming up, we will be talking with Alyssa Jung. Please stay tuned. Marissa Cohen, thank you for your time. All of these great articles will be in the June 2024 issue of Prevention Magazine. Marissa, thanks. And I know we'll be talking to you again, but have a great rest of your day and congrats on another wonderful issue.
Thanks so much.
Hi, everybody. We're just going to take a quick break before we introduce the next guest. But at the Not Old Better Show, we understand the journey of aging gracefully. That's why we've partnered with Prevention Magazine, your trusted companion in health and wellness for over 70 years. Just like the Not Old Better Show, Prevention Magazine's commitment to your well-being and happiness has never wavered. Join us each month on the Not Old Better Show for exclusive insights from Prevention Magazine. We dive deep into topics that matter to you, from health to happiness. Personally, I've been a long-time Prevention Magazine subscriber, including the All Access Plan. You can subscribe to Prevention Magazine to unlock a treasure trove of health and wellness knowledge, and join us here on the Not Old Better Show for in-depth behind-the-scenes information and more. And that's just the beginning. This year, May, June, the rest of 2024 are filled with invaluable insights. This April, for example, we're covering essential topics like sleep tips, the best walking shoes, and ways to battle nausea. Check back with us monthly for our deep dive with these exclusive interviews. I personally recommend Prevention Magazine for staying informed and empowered. So join our vibrant community at prevention.com. The Not Old Better Show and Prevention Magazine, celebrating life together. Visit Prevention Magazine's website at prevention.com. And now our feature interview with Alyssa Jung, senior editor of Fitness and Nutrition, who's written the cover story, Heal Your Body with Food. Alyssa Jung, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us today. I'm excited to talk to you about the June issue of Prevention Magazine, especially your article, the title of which is Heal Your Body with Food, The Path to Good Health and Long Life Starts in the Kitchen. I love that title. I think it's just going to jump right out at everybody. And I'm excited to talk to you about it because health is such an important subject for us. And it has so many ramifications. Food does, in particular. And you write that you talk about the rainbow of colors in fruits and vegetables and how important that is to incorporate a nice variety, and how it can actually serve to tame inflammation. And that jumped right out at me. And so maybe tell us a little bit about that, how that works and what you found.
Yeah. So I love this little detail because it really is just such a gem. And fighting chronic inflammation is actually something that so many of us are obsessed with right now. And it's actually a great wellness obsession to have, because inflammation in small doses is actually very natural. It's sort of our body's defense system, and it's deployed, you know, sporadically here and there if we have an injury that needs healing, or, you know, if we're sick and we have to recover. But it becomes a problem when it sticks around for too long and it becomes chronic inflammation. And this is worrisome because then it has a chance to cause damage to cells, tissues, organs, basically all the inner workings of our body. And over time, this can all contribute to the development of chronic health problems like heart disease, cancer, and even diabetes. And all of that sounds scary, but now we're on to the good news, which is that one of the best ways to sort of stop that inflammation in its tracks and also keep a handle on it is to just simply eat more of these colorful foods. They are jam-packed with a really large variety of vitamins, minerals, and these other really powerful plant compounds that all just work together to fight inflammation and keep it under control.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. One of the other things that jumped right out at me, too, in the article, which ties into this kind of this idea of balance and incorporating variety, is this idea of gut health. We hear a lot about gut health, and you've written about it and talked about the subjects of probiotics and prebiotics. So tell us about gut health and the foods that incorporate both probiotics and prebiotics and what that means in balancing out our good health.
Yeah, this is such a great question because you're right. We do talk about gut health a lot, and I'm not sure if everybody really has such a clear picture of what that means and why it's so important. So just in general, all of our body systems essentially are linked in some sort of way to our gut microbiome. So our immune system, how our hormones are regulated, even our brain and our mental health, right? And so all of these are linked to our gut microbiome. And so keeping that healthy is super essential. And one way to do that is to focus on making sure the balance of good and bad gut bugs, is what we call them, you know, are the way that they should. And essentially we have good bacteria, bad bacteria. They coexist within our gut, and we do need both types, but we need them to be in balance. So probiotic foods, you've probably heard a lot about, these actually populate our gut with those good gut bugs that we're after. So you'll find them in things like yogurt, kefir, and fermented foods like kimchi or sauerkraut. And then you also want to load up on prebiotic foods. And these contain certain fibers that we can't digest, so they end up serving as fuel for those healthy gut bugs that we just populated our gut with. So you really need to have a constant stream of both probiotics and prebiotics to sort of keep everything in balance. And prebiotics you can find in garlic, onions, bananas, even honey or asparagus, just to name a few.
Yeah, again, so helpful. The other thing that I found helpful in the article was a chart that you have entitled The 5 F's of Gut Health. And I really want to direct our audience to this issue, this June issue of Prevention Magazine and your article, because I think the 5 F's really reflect some good tips on how to keep this gut health in check. And you talk about chewing food fully as one of the F's, but maybe tell us a little bit the 5 F's and how they're important to our health.
Yeah. So this is a cheat sheet. One of my favorite nutritionists, Dawn Jackson Blattner, she gave this to me. I thought it was so fun, so I'm glad you did too. Chewing food is obviously the first one, simply because it just makes it easier to digest so that our body can use all of those nutrients that we just fed it. But it's also to focus on fiber. So a good goal is to sort of shoot for maybe 30 grams of fiber per day, give or take. You know, it's not the end of the world if you don't hit that. And it's not the end of the world if you go over that amount, even better. It's really important to focus on hydration just for good overall health in general. But specifically when it comes to gut health, it helps sort of keep the digestive tract moving along, clean, strong. Also focusing on those friendly bacteria we were talking about, so making sure you're getting enough probiotics. Research does suggest that 6 servings of fermented foods daily is ideal, but that does sound like a lot. So nutrition experts say just start with 1 daily bonus serving of fiber, and that's a step in the right direction. And finally, just moving your body. We know exercise is good for every aspect of health, but research does show that 30 to 90 minutes of exercise 3 times a week can result in positive and consistent changes to that gut bug balance that we're after.
Those are great tips. Again, our guest today is Alyssa Jung, who's written the cover story from Prevention Magazine's June issue. Coming up, we'll have links so that our audience can find out more information about Alyssa Jung, as well as her cover story titled Heal Your Body with Food: The Path to Good Health and Long Life Starts in the Kitchen. I think we all, as we age, particularly women, are focused on this subject of bone density and muscle mass. And you have a section in the article titled, Shore Up Your Skeleton. I thought that was really a great one. So maybe tell us about some of the advice that you really researched in terms of this article, and how there's traditional advice about drinking your milk, but that it really does hold up a little bit, especially when you think about the vitamins, the nitrates, vitamin K, and incorporating those into our diet.
Yes. So the age-old advice to get enough calcium and vitamin D definitely still applies when it comes to maintaining a strong skeleton. You need both of those nutrients for bone health, and you actually need both of them together for proper absorption. But more and more research is turning up something interesting, which is that it appears that vitamin K and nitrates are two other nutrients that seem to play a pretty major role in how sturdy our bones are. And so you can actually find both of them in leafy greens, which is convenient. And vitamin K is thought to improve bone density, which then reduces fracture risk. And then nitrates are thought to boost oxygen and blood flow to muscles, and our whole skeleton is made up of not only bones, but also muscles and joints.
Yeah, one of the big muscles, of course, is our heart. And we've talked about bone health a little bit, and we've talked about inflammation and gut health. But tell us a little bit about heart health, because you mentioned that in the article, too, that foods really can help your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. And we like to say that small changes add up to big results when it comes to a heart-healthy lifestyle. And part of this simply has to just do with the fact that smaller changes are, they don't feel as overwhelming. They're easier to sustain when you have all of these good-for-you habits that you're trying to work on besides eating. the right foods. But specifically when we talk about nutrition and heart health, these small diet tweaks, they're so beneficial because so many foods contain all of these nutrients that our heart needs to function properly, and they can also positively impact certain heart disease risk factors that we want to keep tabs on, such as high blood pressure or high cholesterol. And it sounds overwhelming. Okay, I want to eat a heart-healthy diet. It's not when you make these small changes and when you think of it as sort of following a Mediterranean style of eating. That's sort of the easiest way for us to explain it. And it's simply lots of fresh produce. So you're already probably loading up on those fruits and vegetables, those rainbow foods we were talking about. Healthy fats, like the ones found in olive oil or avocado. Lean proteins, like in fish. And also plant-based proteins are super important. And getting a variety of these foods is should be one of your biggest goals when it comes to daily eating for your heart.
This is all so helpful. When you think about food and our physical selves, there is just this direct correlation. But one that doesn't immediately jump out is the correlation between food and mental health. Diet has a real role here. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about making over our mental health with, you know, including and intertwining food and considering how vital it is to the cognitive process.
Yeah, you're so right. We don't always think about nutrition and mental health and cognitive health, more so cognitive health, but mental health and nutrition. We don't always put those two together as being able to influence one another. But it's funny because they actually are so directly related. Certain nutrients, they actually directly impact how hormones and neurotransmitters function. So these would be mood-regulating chemicals like serotonin or dopamine that sort of help us feel, you know, a steady mood or feel happy, positive emotions. And the right nutrients, they can also help dial down some of those mental health issues that we struggle with throughout life, like anxiety or just simply stress. So that's the sciencey side of it. And then there's also a comfort food piece of it that I think is just really lovely to add to your mindset. And our fabulous neuropsychologist, Dr. Judy Ho, she told me about this. And she basically just said, enjoying comfort foods, those ones that they maybe make you feel good or they just elicit positive feelings or nostalgia. I mean, those go a long way as well when it comes to catering to our mental health. And she said the key to really getting the most out of these comfort moments is to be mindful when you're having them. So really savor and tune into all the flavors, the textures, just the whole experience.
That's such a great tip. Thank you. Well, Alyssa Jung, I know you're very busy. We just appreciate your time and all of this great information. I just have one final question for you, for our audience. If we're thinking about making just one change to our diet, what would your top pick be in terms of its impact to our overall health?
Well, this is a tricky one, but I would say I think simply trying to eat more of those rainbow foods, those fruits and veggies, that is just a really powerful change that even if that were to be the only one you made for a while, you would eventually be able to see good results because that helps so many of these other good health pieces fall into place. And you can, it doesn't have to feel overwhelming adding, you know, fruits and veggies. Maybe it's not your favorite type of food. You know, one of my favorite tips is every time you go to the grocery store, make it a fun challenge to pick up a new fruit or vegetable that you haven't ever tried before. It's a good way to grow your repertoire, discover new foods you didn't even know you loved, and then also to build snacks around fruits and veggies. So make fruits and veggies the focus. So perhaps you'll have a big handful of crunchy snap peas that are in season right now, and you dip them in hummus for a bit of protein and fiber. Or you'll have some nice juicy apple slices and pair them with some nut butter. So it's just a good way to, you know, sort of introduce yourself to this healthy eating group that so many of us, you know, want to hop into.
Yes, definitely. Alyssa Jung, thank you for your time. What a great story. Alyssa Jung's been our guest. She's written the cover story for Prevention Magazine's June issue, Foods That Heal, How to Eat for Your Gut, Heart, Brain, and More. Alyssa, thanks for your time. And as you do work on this subject in the future, we'd love to have you back. This is so wonderful for our mature audience. But thank you for your time. Thanks for this great article. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Paul. I will come back whenever you would like me to.
That's great. Thank you. I hope you've enjoyed our June 2024 Prevention Magazine Editor-in-Chief Interview Series with Marissa Cohen. Marissa Cohen is the contributing editor at Prevention Magazine. Today, we spoke with Marissa Cohen about skincare, and we talked about the importance and some of the myths surrounding pet health. Our feature interview was with Prevention Magazine cover story author Alicia Jung, who is the senior editor of Fitness and Nutrition. We talked about the subject. The cover story title is Heal Your Body with Food. Thank you, Marissa. Thanks for Alicia Jung for joining us today for your invaluable insights into the June issue of Prevention Magazine. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in. Remember, knowledge is power, and it's never too late to live your best life. Check it out in the June 2024 issue of Prevention Magazine, and please sign up for the Prevention Magazine Prevention Premium Program. Everything will be in our show notes today, but be well, be safe. Let's talk about better. The Not Old Better Show Prevention Magazine Health and Wellness Interview Series. Until next time, stay informed, stay healthy, read Prevention Magazine. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next month.